Well, any achievements gained by the coalition's long war in Afghanistan would have been impossible without the assistance of locally engaged linguists and interpreters. Given the circumstances David's just outlined there, those interpreters are increasingly imperiled. Some have already been killed. Many are still waiting for visa applications to this country to be processed, but some have been resettled. The latest group arrived last weekend. One of them is Nawidala Aman. He's a qualified civil engineer, but he worked with NATO forces and with Australia as a translator for 10 years. He's relieved to now be in Brisbane with his wife and his three-year-old son.
I'm very, very pleased to be here and feeling very safe and away from all those tensions and fears that we have. We're so happy and pleased and very thankful for every single person who assisted us with this process and made this possible to get here. The experience was so good overall. It was first time traveling for my family. Everything was excited from the very beginning, from the very first day we have heard about our visa grant and getting onto the plane and having a travel to Dubai and coming back here to Australia.
So how long were you waiting for your visa to come to Australia?
From the very beginning, when we first applied, it took a little bit more than 2 years until we could get our visas and get here.
Did you fear that you may not get out?
Oh, yeah. When we first heard about the lockdowns and the border closure for the Australia, we had this fear that they might not be able to get us out, evacuate us. And the situation was getting worse in Afghanistan. And, you know, Taliban was getting closer and closer to the capital of Afghanistan. That's where we left. And the target attacks was raising up. And we had this fear for the very long time that, hey, what would happen to us if we could not get out on time?
So tell me a bit more about the situation, because we've been hearing a lot of reports from on the ground about the Taliban taking over many areas in Afghanistan. What sort of threat did they pose to you?
Well, from very beginning, they were always taught that the people who were affiliated with the coalition forces, they were infidels, they're against their Islamic beliefs, and they're helping the infidels. And they would not consider us as a Muslim, and they would think that they would have a reward if they could kill one of us. And we've always been on the top of their list for the target attacks. And we always had this fear that we would face this situation a day when we were going to work or going out of the city or anywhere else. Recently, the situation got very worse, especially after the announcement of the withdrawal of coalition forces. You know, as you've heard the news, the Taliban was taking over of the cities and the places who were controlled by the government before. And they were coming closer and closer. And the fear was raising up for the interpreters and linguists who were working with the foreign forces.
Did you have specific threats to you and your family?
Not directly, but I was living in a place where I was close to the work, and I was also studying. There was a small shop close to us, and one day when I was returning from work, the shopkeeper told me, hey, there was a couple of guys, they were asking about you. They said, hey, do you know Nawid, who is working with the foreigners, and giving a description of me. And he told him, like, hey, I don't know, but I'll ask around. When I got back from work, the shopkeeper told me the same stuff. From the description I heard about those two guys, I did not know him in person. I never met him. And I had this fear that they were one of the guys that who were behind me who would want to, you know, target me. So I just wind up my things, my stuff, and got out of the place and shifted my room to another place immediately.
So you have managed to get here to Australia with your wife and child, but are you concerned, first of all, for other family members you still have in Afghanistan?
Absolutely, ma'am. Absolutely. I mean, if you're somehow affiliated with the foreigners, it doesn't matter if you're a linguist, if you're a contractor, if you're doing anything, but if you're going to a base and helping the coalition forces or native forces, you would be a target for the Taliban and, you know, all those, you know, extremist groups and anti-government groups. It doesn't matter. I'm very concerned about the lives of the people who has been helping Australians and other native forces. And I'm sure they would feel the same as I do.
And there is concern at the moment for some in Australia who are supporting you and your fellow translators that they're not being evacuated quickly enough. What do you think should happen to them?
Well, the Taliban, they have raised up their target attacks and they're assassinating people. You know, some translators at the suburb areas and, you know, away from the cities, they're losing their lives and they're living in a fear. They could not even get out of their houses and they could not let their kids and children to get out of the city and, you know, to go to school. And they're living in a very fearful situation. They were so intimidated by these people.
You waited for a visa to come to Australia. Can people afford to wait that long now, or is it more urgent? Should something else happen?
No, it's a completely different situation now. At least, you know, the coalition forces and native forces were helping Afghans, and there were more places under control of the government before when we were raiding. But right now, you know, more places are falling to the Taliban, and it should be very, very much quicker than it was before.
So should there be evacuations, emergency evacuations, like the Americans have announced, for example?
Yes, ma'am. I think that's a perfect example. America and UK, they're doing their best to evacuate them instantly. And I think Australia would have to do the same if they want to protect these people on time.
So as you settle into Australia, you're actually a civil engineer, a qualified civil engineer. What do you plan to do with your life? I know it's an early time to ask, but what are you planning?
Yes, ma'am. I've always had this dream that once I get to safety, once my life is settled and I'm in a safe place, I would still continue to do my education. That's what myself, my family, my father wanted. And once I'm here settled out of the quarantine, I'll look for some refreshment courses and I would still try to do engineering and be a productive member of the society.
Nawid, thank you so much. And again, congratulations. Welcome to Australia.
Thank you so much. I at the end, I want to thank every single person, Major Stuart McCarthy, Captain Jason Scans, and Forsaken Fighters, the organization, and every single person, including yourself, the media, who has helped us to make this come through. It was a dream for us, but it has come through finally. And we're so grateful, myself, my family, and my colleagues. I want to thank every single person for doing this to us.
Nawid Allah Arman, a former interpreter for Australian forces in Afghanistan, starting a new life in Brisbane. And we asked the federal government what obligation it feels to immediately enable the safe evacuation and resettlement of Afghans who helped Australia. We got a response from the Home Affairs Department. I'll take you through it. It says it's urgently processing requests from Afghan locally engaged employees. That's a very specific category, who also have to meet health, character and national security requirements. That can take a significant period of time, they say. They have to be certified as being at significant risk of harm as a result of their employment and support to Australia's mission. The statement says it announced it would offer resettlement to these people in 2012, and more visas were granted this year than in any year since 2013-14. It granted 1,400 visas during that period.